All right, Sean, it's great to have you on the Metal Command show yet again. And, you know, I've had you on quite a few times, and, you know, it's always great to have you on, as we usually do. So, you know, give us some updates. Give me some updates on Death Dealer, some updates on Cage. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, what's currently going on with you guys.
Hey, man. Good to be on the show again. Man, there's so much going on. It's really cool when you're, you know, working on creating things, because I'm in the middle of doing the new Death Dealer album and the new Cage album right now. And it's kind of weird, you know, bouncing back and forth between the two albums, getting it in my head and, you know, switching modes, but I've been able to do it pretty effectively. We'll start with Death Dealer. I think we have 9 songs written and, you know, pretty much recorded, at least the rough demos. We have another 4 that we're adding to that, and 2 of those are pretty much, you know, like 90% written. So the album's real close to having all the writing done for it, and there'll be some bonus tracks that we're going to figure out what we do with. And that's coming along real cool. It's definitely got, it's got like a super epic vibe to it. There's some of the songs have just like monster orchestra intros that are just cool. So, you know, we didn't go about that with any like particular direction, man. We just wrote it, you know, as songs came out. And so that's coming together real quick. Mark Sasso, the artist, is actually getting me the first sketch on the album artwork like next week. So I'm really excited to see how that comes out. We have a full concept and stuff. He's actually working on a Dio cover right now for a, I guess there's a big Dio tribute album coming out with Metallica and I think Anthrax, a bunch of big bands. And this cover that he's working on is going to be just amazing for that. So I'm just giving him a little plug, awesome. Tony. The Death Dealer thing is like on full speed ahead, and that's getting real close to some of the tracks. My vocals are like final vocals, and the other ones I just have to touch up a couple spots. And so I'm like, you know, 90% done with my singing on that record, but I have a lot to do with the writing, so I'm in on everything every day. And then we have a tour that we haven't announced the price yet, but hopefully by the time the people are listening to this, we'll have already announced it, which is a huge opportunity for Death Dealer. Did you hear of the Metal All-Stars tour? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
The Metal. It's Eastern Europe. It's 11 dates, you know, through Poland and Sweden and stuff, and even Russia and Turkey. It's a big, we're opening for that. It's an arena tour, which is going to be fantastic. And it's got like Udo, Joey Belladonna, Zakk Wylde, Phil Anselmo, like Kronos from Venom, and Ross the Boss is a featured guitar player in it. So it's pretty cool. It's a big, Vincent Neil was on half the show, so it's kind of a big all-star. Yeah, it's like a 3-hour show where they sing like just all the classics from all different kinds of bands. And we got the opportunity to open for that. So that'll be Death Dealer's like first real tour. You know, only be like the 5th show we've ever played together, and it'll be our first string of shows with the new drummer Steve Bolognese from Into Eternity. So that's super exciting, and that's the first show is March 23rd, so that's like coming out. So I've been working out heavily, man, to try and get into Metal God shape so I don't look like I look proper when I'm up on stage there. So that's been going on with that. So that Death Dealer is a lot happening there. We're going to probably release the album sometime in the summer. And then we're also trying to book a September tour in May, in Europe, and then we're trying to fit some kind of run in the U.S., either in between there, or we don't know what the hell we're going to do. There's also a chance we could be with that metal all-stars package in South America. So the cool thing is there's a lot of live dates coming, and it's cool because it was, with the shows that we did with Ross, Mike, Stu, you know, were just fantastic, man. It was just really cool, you know, being in a new band and looking over and having Ross the Boss next to you. And, you know, I've come to appreciate what just, you know, what a legend that dude is. And it's real cool. I'm excited about, you know, bringing the power to that one. And then the Cage, man, I think we've recorded 6 songs of the 13. This is a real massive undertaking. We've written 13 songs. You know, there still needs to be some tweaking. We're a little bit behind the curve of what we have written for Death Dealer, but it's a concept album. It's like a King Diamond thing. I wrote a story. I don't know if I told you the story before, but I got hit up by some of the guys in Pete Black and Snowy Shaw, and it's supposed to be Pete Black, Snowy Shaw, and Hal Patino. We're going to put together like a project. This was back, I think, 4 years ago at least. And they had a singer that I hooked them up with, and then they asked if I wanted to do the singing. I'm a big King Diamond fan, so I said, hey, man, that sounds cool. So I said, well, why don't we do a concert album? So I started writing this horror story, and over the years, it's become, you know, basically this massive novel. I don't know, it's like, I think like 45,000 words. So it's the biggest thing I've ever written. It's a little bit of a mini novel. And it's kind of an H.P. Lovecraft vibe, 1869 London, England, with some Egyptian flashback sequences and stuff. And I did a lot of research to make sure that it was, you know, kind of accurate. And as I just finished that book, and anyway, it's long story short, you know, that whole thing fell apart. And I, the more I worked on the story, the more I liked it. I said, you know what, forget this, I'm going to use this for Cage. So here we are, you know, bringing this thing to life. And in some form or fashion, the book is going to, like, ship with certain packages of the CD. And I think I'm going to read, like, an audiobook version of it, too, while they're narrating it. So, you know, with Cage, we're always looking to do some kind of, you know, I'm always looking to break new ground, and it'll be, like I said, a real King Diamond vibe. And so far, it's coming out great. And now, this is with the new lineup. We have 3 new guys. We got this Sean Elge on drums, and Casey Trask on guitar, and Dwight Magic, as we call him, on bass. And this new lineup is really fresh because, you know, they're new at Cage, and they're all about it. They're super excited about everything. And then we booked a run for Cage in July in Europe, where we're playing the BAM Festival with Gravedigger and the Headbangers Open Air with a bunch of different bands. So it's really cool. We're going to be returning back to Europe and playing a couple of cool fests. And then so we booked, you know, I think we have like 7 shows booked so far. We're going to probably book a couple weeks out in Europe. So that's really exciting. And on a side note, and this hasn't officially been announced yet, but it looks like I will be getting a lot of exclusive info here. This is good timing. it looks like I'll be singing at the Keep It True for Warrior. I was asked to fill in for the other singer who had like back surgery or something. So, you know, I'm really good friends with AC, the guitar player who's in Lizzie Borden for a long time. And then Joe Floyd, when we did the Darker Than Black album, Joe Floyd asked me to sing on the Wars of Gods and Men album. After I went in there and was singing Darker Than Black, him and Roy Z were like, oh man, you know, you want to do this record? And, I wanted to do it, but the timing is real bad. I just had so much stuff going on. So I got Mark Storace from Crocus to do it, which he did a real good job. And so, you know, they hit me up, and so right when we come back from the Metal All-Star things, like 2 weeks later, I'm going to be flying back over there to go play the Keep It True with, which is, you know, we're one of the headliners, which is, you know, I've played it once before, but that was a really good show. And, the, you know, so that's real cool, and it's going to be weird, you know, singing with another band, you know, that I've never sang with before. It's going to be a first time for me, so. A lot going on, man. That's the update. It's exciting. It's an exciting year.
Now, you have a new drummer, Sean, and talk a little bit about him and getting him into the band, and tell everybody about the new drummer and Death Dealer.
Yeah, I've never even met Steve face-to-face yet. He's a Boston kid. He's got a heavy Boston accent, which is always super fun to talk to him, man. I always make fun of him, and we call him Bowley. We already have a nickname for him, but he's jammed with Mike Davis, the bass player. It's kind of cool because three of us now are centered, you know, in Southern California. So it makes us a little less scattered, which, you know, makes things logistically easier. So I think next week we're going to have our first practice, like the three of us, me, Mike Davis, and Steve Bolognese. This dude's like a road warrior. I mean, he's been like toured, like all kinds of tours with Into Eternity. You know, he knows everybody in the scene. I mean, this guy's real well known. He's a Berklee School of Music teacher. He was Mike Mangini from Dream Theater's, like, right hand guy. So, you know, we needed a drummer with some sort of name to replace Rhino, and now we got all kinds of possibilities. And this guy was in L.A. and he was free, and man, he's in all the drummer magazines and endorsements, and, you know, he's really easygoing, and, you know, like, he's one of these guys that, like, rolls with the punches real easy, and so that's very cool. It makes it, when people, you know, I like people that can just, like, yeah, whatever, you know, they don't get rattled when the situation isn't, like, exactly perfect, which happens all the time in rock and roll, and that's one of his strengths, and so really looking forward to playing live with the Baby Watch. I've just seen the videos of him, you know, playing different videos on YouTube. It's Bolognese, Bolognese, and if you YouTube him, he's got some of him, like a three-camera, you know, setup of him, like, playing along with some of these crazy, you know, technical Into Eternity songs. He's just sick, man, so super excited about piano with him for the first time.
Now, I really liked the Death Dealer album, the debut album that you guys obviously just put out. And, you know, how did it do for you guys? I mean, what was the fan response to it? It seemed to me that there was a lot of great response to this album when it came out.
That's cool, man. We just got our, you know, we're in a bunch of, you know, top 10 album of the year lists. And we just got our, finally, our album of the year award, Best New Band Award, from the metalrules.com, which is a pretty well-respected website. So, yeah, the critics loved it, but, you know, it's fun. I was like, I'm so spoiled with Cage. I've just gotten incredible reviews, like, over and over. I mean, just, you know, so I always look for the bad reviews because there's usually not many of them, but there's a couple of reviews that were just like, you know, 3 out of 10, but I love the horrible ones because they're just so absurd. And, you know, anyone that's a fan of that genre, you know, if you like that kind of singing and straight up heavy metal, I mean, I don't know how you could not help but like that album. Because, you know, the songs are so. I still listen to the record, you know, every other day or so. I throw on a song. It just came out really good. That's why it's a lot of pressure writing this new one, man. You know, I always get tripped out writing a new record. My God, is it good enough? But we definitely were on the right track with the new record. But yeah, the first one was just magic, man. All those songs were really, really good. And it did really, really good in Japan for some reason. So Japan definitely has a bright future. So and it did good in Europe. And, you know, the pre-orders were way beyond what we expected. We put out a real cool package. And so, yeah, we're set up to be real successful in the second record. And we got a good little group of fans that jump on board the first time.
Well, I have an announcement to make, and this will be the first time the listeners on my show have done this, because I haven't released my best of 2013 list yet, but, you know, Death Dealer's definitely in the top 10, but to add a little more pressure to you, man, I mean, definitely the best debut album that I've heard in a very long time, and definitely the debut album of the year.
Finally, someone with some sense in their head. Jeez.
But,
very cool. Thank you.
Well, and the reason I'm bringing this up is that, you know, you got Mike Davis who played with Halford, you know, Stu doing what he's done, you doing what you've done with Cage, you have Ross the Boss, and then you had Rhino on this album. And, you know, the expectations for bands that are considered, you know, more like an all-star type thing is that they're super high and that most of the time they don't work out. But, you know, with this record, this Death Dealer album, it worked out great. The musical chemistry was there. The songwriting was there. And, you know, when you get groups of really killer musicians from so many great bands together, most of the time it really doesn't work out because there's no musical chemistry going on with them. So I really thought it worked out great for you guys on this record.
Yeah, that was, you know, in a lot of, there's a ton of interviews. And it's like, on, you know, like any kind of sports team, on paper it looked like it should be the greatest thing ever, but they never sound as good as it looks on paper. I mean, never, you know. The all-star group, the super group things just never are as good as it looks. So we wanted to make sure that wasn't the case, man. We wanted to make sure that it was just, you know, the songs were you know, I got my own, you know, heavy metal barometer, man. I said, you know, if I get the goosebumps, then I know that it's, you know, that it's killer. And it's so weird how quick we wrote the record. I mean, we wrote the whole, wrote and recorded the thing mostly in like 2 months, just like from scratch. It came together so quick, and the songs came out so good. It was just really weird how this fast, and boom, it was there, and it just, it worked. And like you said, you know, the pedigree of everybody was just phenomenal, and then you just look at it, and thankfully, all the reviews, you know, most of them were just like, oh, man, you know, is it going to live up? They all started like, you've got this guy and you've got this guy. The question, does it live up to, you know, what it should sound like? And like, yes, it does. So I think the critics were pleasantly surprised, too, that it, you know, it kicked as much ass as it should have.
Well, and here's the thing, Sean, is that, you know, I always said, you know what, from the moment that I heard the song Total Devastation off of Reborn in Fire by Empires of Eden, I knew, I could just tell there was a great musical chemistry between yourself and Stu. And even with Channeling the Infinity, the same thing. And, you know, one of the things that I think is amazing is that, you know, at least having the chemistry between you two guys, I think that was going to carry over to Ross the Boss and everybody else in this band. And I remember when I asked Stu about a year or two ago, and he kind of started laughing when I brought up, you guys should make an album together, but at the time couldn't tell me anything. But, you know, I think that you guys make a great songwriting team together, and I think it's absolutely amazing. And it shows in this Death Dealer album that you guys have a great rapport and a great chemistry. And again, Total Devastation is probably one of the best heavy metal songs that I've actually ever heard.
Yeah, you know, I'll let a little cat out of the bag. We are putting that song Total Devastation on the new Death Dealer album, kind of similar how we did through a Hammer Down. So that was, that song is so cool. We said, you know what, we need to kind of hijack this thing and put it on the Death Dealer album because there's a lot of people that still haven't heard that song. And so, that's going to be one that, you know, you might actually see playing live because Hammer Down became a, you know, a crowd favorite for sure when we played live. So, yeah, you're right, man. It was just, he always had, once we became friends and, you know, we kept writing and writing, we just wrote a track. I think he's already released this information. I better be careful, but I think he let the cat out of the bag that Ralph Sheever is a singing track on his new Empires of Eden album. And,
he did.
So him and I composed that. I wrote all the lyrics, and I sang a version of it just so it'd be real easy for Ralph to do. And that song came out real good. So even when, you know, we're not making songs for our project now, where, you know, I'm helping them arrange stuff and write stuff and put lyrics together. And his profile is really, he has a couple new things that just came to see the light of day like this week. So he's going to be working with all kinds of people. His profile as a songwriter is really going to be reaching the spotlight. And we always joke, he calls us the heavy metal Lennon and McCartney.
That's a good,
so I posted like a
It's a good analogy, man. I like that. Yeah. I like that analogy.
We write songs like really quick, and then you know you got Ross and Mike, you know, writing along with us, and it just makes it. I mean, Ross will throw us an idea, man, and we'll just run with the whole thing, and he'll just go, yeah, exactly like that. So it's we got a really good system going.
Well, and even working with the Empires of Eden thing, like you have, I mean, the big thing is that the Empires of Eden thing's really cool because you have all these metalheads from all over the world working on this one album together. And I've always thought that when you get all these really cool singers, musicians working on and collaborating on an album together, plus adding their own touch to it, you know, that's probably a big reason why I really love what Empires of Eden does, what Stu's done with that.
You know, and it's good that Stu, you know, got into the Death Dealer thing because now he gets to play live, because the Empires of Eden thing is a project, obviously, and those songs we'll probably never see, you know, live stage, and that's why, you know, we hijacked Hammer Down and Total Devastation, because now some of those tracks can actually be heard, you know, around the world in a live setting. So the whole Death Dealer thing worked out perfect for him.
Well, I also think, you know, you may not know this, but I'm actually starting a YouTube channel for my show, and Hammer Down is actually my theme song, the actual entrance music to the videos,
cool.
The intro music. So figured I'd throw that out there to you.
But anyhow, you know, I want to get back to the Cage Death Dealer thing again. You know, you have these two records coming out. You're going to be singing on a Cage album. You're going to be singing on Death Dealer. And every year, Cage always moves up my favorite album of the year list. Like, Supremacy of Steel, in my opinion, was my favorite album that you guys have ever put out. And every subsequent album that comes out, I seem to like better and better. And every time I make out one of these end-of-the-year lists, you guys just keep moving up the rankings. And, you know, if you had to compare the new Death Dealer stuff and the new Cage stuff compared to what you guys did before, you know, talk a little bit about that. You know, how does the new Death Dealer material compare to the previous album, and how does the new Cage album compare to the previous stuff you've put out?
The Death Dealer's got four tracks that are like super, could be like freaking movie themes. I mean, super epic and totally different themes that'll just, like, you know, transport you away. You know, they're real. We go in a lot of different fantastical directions. I still have not used the word dragon in any song in any band that I've ever done on any song I've ever written. Just for the record,
yeah.
I've never written a song with the word dragon in it. So, then again, you know, then we've got a couple of, you know, mid-tempo, like, hammer-down ones that are just really good. We've got one that Ross wrote that we just finished up that's, like, a real... I was never really a big Manowar fan, to be honest, but this is like, so Manowar. It's, like, a real kind of... not applauding, but it's a really, you know, like, slower-tempoed... just monster epic thing, and it really came out good. I was kind of against the song at first, and then once I got into it and came up with some of the stuff, it came out real cool. So that'll be real cool. I don't think we have a ballad this time. And then we've got a couple. You know, even the epic ones are like real. Once you get past the epic intro, you know, the songs are just blasting, and then we have a couple that are just straight ahead, you know, come out, you know, like Painkiller style. So it's definitely matured, but the songs are very good. There's just catchy hooks and everything, and of course me screaming my ass off, and Stu's become even a greater guitar player. So I mean, some of his leads and some of Ross's leads are just really good. So, and Steve has not done the drums on it yet, so I'm waiting to see, you know, what he comes up with. So, I think it's going to be good. I think it'll definitely be comparable with Warmaster, and that's saying a lot. And then on to the Cage, I mean, this is the first time we've written with these new guys. I love that. This is probably my favorite Cage lineup. This guitar player, he's 22 years old, Casey Trask. He looks kind of like Warren DeMartini to me, man. He's got kind of a pointy nose and, you know, skinny kid, and he just loves freaking metal, and he's just got a musical vibe about him, and he comes up with riffs just like left and right. They're just perfect for for our style of music. He really reminds me a lot of Anthony McGinnis, you know, who was in Darker Than Black, Hell Destroyer, and Signs of Annihilation. So, it's really hard, like I said, it's hard to pin down what this style one is, because this Cage record is really hard, because it's a freaking concept album, you know, and all the songs gotta fit together, and you're singing about a story, so it's really hard, you know, you've got hooks that are in there that, you know, that making these songs stand apart on their own is definitely real tricky, and, you know, the more that I was really apprehensive about the record, but the more that it goes along, the more confident I'm getting on it. So, like I said, we're only halfway through it, so I'm gonna still reserve the my opinion on it yet. But like I said, the more that it goes along, the more confident I get. And the six songs that we have right now so far are really pretty badass. So, you know, I'm always like this on every Cage record. I'm like, oh, it's not good enough. I know most people come on your show and go, oh, it's the greatest thing they've ever done, but I'm like the complete opposite, man. I'm just like, I'm always a nervous wreck about how good is it, and then it always ends up being really, you know, like you said, we keep getting better, so hopefully this is another result, but because of the nature of it, you're telling a horror story, it makes it really, really tricky.
I know how it is, man. I've been really deeply involved with albums before, and, you know, you always underestimate. When you're so involved with it, you always worry, are people going to like it? Are people going to like it? You always underestimate, though, how much of an effect it really is going to have on somebody.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, I've listened to, I won't name any names, but I've listened to a lot of the new albums that have just come out, you know, for bands, like, in our genre that are comparable to us, and I listen to some of that stuff, and I'm just going, you know, this. A lot of it's not really that memorable, and I'll go and listen to our new tracks, and I'm going, well, God, if I'm comparing this to that, I think we're in good shape, but I've got to compare it to, you know, Hell Destroyer, and, like you said, Science of Annihilation, and Science of Annihilation is my favorite Cage record so far. Supremacy of Steel was really good, but Science is still my favorite, but, you know, we've got so many classic songs. The cool thing about the new lineup is live, we've been playing a lot of stuff we've never played live before, like some stuff off Darker Than Black. You know, the kid's like, hey, let's play this song, and I'm just like, hey, man, that's cool. So that's been fun in our lives, and we're headlining House of Blues Hollywood next week. Got a big buzz on that show. There's a lot of people coming, but, you know, all kinds of metal freaking stars be there. And we're going to be playing a lot of songs we've never played live before, so that's always makes it more fun.
Awesome, Sean. Well, you know, I have one more question for you to end us off, because obviously we're getting pretty long in the interview, but it's great. The information you've given me and given the listeners is great. And, you know, what are some final words for you to anybody checking this interview out on the show?
Yeah, I just, you know, for me, you know, being in these, all this work you put into the bands, the payoff is the live performance, man. And as a singer, I'm always... you know, singing is, this kind of music is a mind game. You know, I'm reading all these things. I watched that Journey, documentary on that Filipino dude. You know, and I'm looking back there, he's got like these oils and freaking steam masks and wearing a scarf around his neck. And it's like, I always get asked about, you know, techniques and do you drink tea with honey? I'm like, man, all that stuff is a freaking, you know, I don't use any of it. I drink water and that's it. And I don't warm up before I go on stage. I just go out and just blast it. And so, it's cool because I think I'm probably singing better now than I have. I mean, I'm still, as a singer, I think getting better, with my technique and different things that I can do. I can do my falsetto super screams, you know, more and with more power and better tone and longer, you know, deeper into the set. We've been doing a 15 song set. It's like a big ass set, you know, for these kind of Cage songs. And, so it's been a real challenge. And, at my age, it's cool that I'm still increasing my skill, so that, you know, it's, when you're a singer, it's, if you have all your tools at your command when you're playing live, you know, it's super fun. But if you're up there, you know, and you've got a problem in one area, now you're just like, it's like a pain in the ass. So you want to keep in good shape. I've kept myself pretty shape lately too, which I lost about 40 pounds. So that's helped with everything. And, yeah, man, thanks for having me on. And, but like I said, the payoff is playing live. And so I've got a lot of cool live stuff coming. So I'm just like really amped for this year. And it's going to probably bring a lot of exposure to me as a singer and all the, you know, the Death Dealer bands. And Death Dealer brought a lot of attention to Cage, people that didn't know what it was. So it's cool for all the projects I work in because they kind of cross-pollinate each other. And man, 2014 is looking sweet, dude.